Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, Health for Partners After Sexual Betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was the previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I got to tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we got to do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
Betrayal Trauma Radio, Help for Partners After Sexual Betrayal, your source for healing. Your host, Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, is here to help you navigate through the crisis of finding out that your partner is a sex addict. She is AppSats trained, so she knows that you're likely facing the greatest trauma of your life. Carol the Coach is here to help you find safety in an unsafe situation. Now, here is your host, Carol the Coach.
Hello, this is Dr. Jake Porter, not Carol the Coach, but I am here with Carol the Coach. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Dr. Jake. I was sitting here thinking to myself, Jake, this is your show now. We have to make a different promo for you, don't we?
We do, but I figured this is a transition moment right here. And because this show is all about honoring you and celebrating the work so far, and I'm going to say the phrase so far probably 100 mm-hmm. times this episode, because I want to make sure people know this isn't like a goodbye. You're not running off into the sunset. We're not going to let you do that. But you have decided that you're going to be stepping away from the AppSats podcast, Betrayal Recovery Radio. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely, Jake. You know, I am 66, and I said to myself, now, Carol, you're supposed to be leaning into retirement, not retiring, but doing a little bit less. And I knew that there were so many talented people at AppSats that this was definitely one thing I could hand over. And who better to hand it over to than you, Jake, because you're like my partner in crime. We work together. We facilitate workshops together. So I am just so excited that I'm giving this opportunity to my listeners to get to hear your wisdom and your interviewing style and all the gifts you have to offer.
Oh, well, I'm super excited. I feel honored. I feel humbled. Carol, both that you would trust me with this, that the AppSats board would trust me with this, that listeners might consider continuing to follow and listen. But hey, today I want to keep the spotlight, actually turn the spotlight around, because you're usually the one asking the questions and holding that spotlight on other people and their stories and their work and their service. And I get to turn that around today and shine it on you. In fact, one of my notes as I was thinking about doing the show with you I wrote down the phrase, sharing the stage. You are one of the most generous people out there to share the stage. You have given literally hundreds of colleagues, professionals, a platform to be heard, and you don't feel threatened about it. You're not competitive about it. That's a unique thing among humans, much less in this field.
Oh, thank you, Jake. Well, you know, you and I are both coaches, and we believe in the law of abundance. And so I feel like the more we can get other people's work out there, the more people will help, but also we'll learn from that too. And so many of my guests have inspired me so much, not only inspirationally, but they've also helped me to create new ideas that fed my soul and my spirit. So it's just really been a win-win for me. I can't tell you how much I've loved it, and I love AppSats. And, you know, it's kind of fun to be in this seat.
Good. Well, let me share a little bit. I mean, I'm sure you know this, but you may not have stopped to look at these numbers in a while. So you have been doing the AppSats podcast now, Betrayal Recovery Radio, for a couple of years, 3 years, 2 or 3 years, is that right?
3 years this September.
Okay. And in those 3 years, this is phenomenal to me. I just looked at a few numbers. In those 3 years, you've done 175 episodes. This would be number 176 right here. And you've gotten more than 200,000 listens for this podcast. Now, your other podcast, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, which you're going to keep doing, right?
Correct. I am going to keep doing that.
Yes. Good. Well, you have to, and I'll tell you why. Because you've got 491 episodes, 968,016 listens. So I'm saying you have to at least break the million listen mark. And you're close. You're close.
Yeah, you know, Jake,
I think that's amazing.
I know it. I know it. And let me just tell you about that. That podcast, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, I did that podcast, and I didn't even look at the demographics for the first year. I didn't know to count numbers. I could care less about numbers. I just wanted to talk to addicts about how they could get healthy. And 1 year into it, I looked at my demographics, and 52% of the demographics were women. And that's when I knew, oh, we're not dealing with female sex addicts here. We're dealing with women who want to understand the men they love. Or maybe, perhaps, some men that wanted to understand the women they love. But with it being women, I just knew, wow, we have really got to get this information out specifically for them. Now, fast forward, that podcast was the first podcast ever. There was no other podcast on sex addiction. And so when I saw the demographics, I got to do women and men. I've got to do what it's like to be betrayed and also what it's like to be an addict. And I was doing that, and that worked for me. And I really gravitated towards helping couples actually kind of work on their thing. Mm-hmm. And then when I trained with AppSats and got on their board, I said, we need to do Betrayal Recovery Radio, because the people that listen, well, first of all, the people that listen are women, and they deserve to have something exclusively for them. Secondly, if we can get men to listen to that show, they'll be more empathetic, and they'll know how, you know, affected their wives. So it's all been full circle, and you're right. I wish I could combine the two, and then I would have over 1 million, wouldn't I?
You would. Yeah, if we put the two together, you are well over the million mark, which is phenomenal. Okay, now, in what you were just saying, you actually touched on several things that I had noted that I wanted to ask you about. And first of all, about you, when you stepped out to do that podcast, I knew that yours was the first podcast to deal with sex addiction. It was out there. That was a big step. But But you're really a trailblazer in that way, using media to kind of reach the masses with this message. But before podcasting, you were kind of showing up in other media, right? What's your story? How did you go from being a social worker to a media phenomenon?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I worked for the largest health conglomeration in Indianapolis. It's called IU Health. And I had told the psychiatrist that I worked with that I wanted to do radio and television. I had had a taste of TV. I was doing a segment once a month, and I just wanted to have my own show. I wanted to have callers call in and ask questions and get the help they needed. So I told him that's what I wanted to do, and he said, how are you going to do it? I said, I think I'm going to write a book. And he kind of looked at me tongue-in-cheek, and he said, okay. And I go, yeah, will you give me a sabbatical to do that? And he said, no, Carol, I won't. So I grabbed a couple of my friends. I went to the local high school. We made a demo tape that really sounded like they were calling in. They weren't supposed to tell me their problem. They stood right next to me in a mic situation and just asked me their questions, and I answered honestly, made that demo, sent it out, got no responses. And 6 months later, I sent it out again, got no response. Well, no, I got one response from a sports station, and he said, Carol, I think you have a really good voice for radio. And I said, well, why don't you use me? And he goes, well, I'm a sports station. And I said, well, I do hypnotherapy. I could talk about sports hypnotherapy. And he kind of laughed and said, no, thanks. Well, then, Jake, I went ahead and contacted our only paper in Indianapolis. They had 800,000 readers, and I asked if I could be their very own Ann Landers. And yeah,
that's
they said,
great.
We've all
that's great.
Landers need that. So I said, well, what do you need? And they said, well, have you ever heard of coaching? Now, this is where I'm going to tell my listeners, you have to really believe in yourself, because when they asked me if I had ever heard of coaching, I said, well, yes, I'm in training to be a coach, because I had signed up for 1 weekend on coaching in St. Louis. Can you believe that? So I embellished.
That's amazing.
I said, I'm in training. Yeah. And so
yeah.
The bad news was that was right before September 11th. And I actually wrote three columns on the anger theory. And that has to do, have you ever heard of the onion theory?
No. Tell me more.
So the onion theory is that men feel anger, and if you peel away that layer, under that is sadness. And women tend to feel sadness, and if you peel that away, it would be anger. And so I wrote about that, and then I wrote about women and body dysmorphia, that they don't like their bodies and they can't see anything good about them. And then I wrote about what was coaching. I had to get 11 books out from the library to bone up on that, since I hadn't officially taken the course. Then, unfortunately, because of September 11th, my course got canceled, and I got the gig with the newspaper. I had 800,000 readers, and it was mostly men. I couldn't believe it. I get all this feedback and emails from men. And the truth of the matter is, I went ahead and took a 2-year course on coaching, loved my coaching, and that newspaper column afforded me 3 different radio shows. And my last one was a 2-hour call-in called Sex, Love, and Relationships with Carol the Coach. And that's how that was born.
Wow. So I had heard some of this story and wanted to make sure our listeners got to hear it. This was even better. I heard it with you on your boat. And so I remember it very well. And just how tenacious you were. You knew what you wanted. You kept your eye on the goal. You didn't let no shut you down. And there's a lot of wisdom in that for all our listeners, I know. That's amazing. Thank you, Carol. I have another question, though. Go ahead.
Jake, I think that when we hear a no, it's an opportunity to figure out how to go around it. And so there is never a no, not really.
Yeah. It's like maybe it's a not yet, or maybe it's a there's a something better out there than this moment, this thing right here. I love that. I love that. So another question I have, though, is, I mean, you've been in this line of work for like 4 decades. You know, I think it's your official bio says, and you spent 2 decades doing this work in sex addiction and betrayal trauma. You were early in becoming a CSAT back when you trained personally with Dr. Patrick Carnes. You were early in seeing the vision of APSATs to help betrayed partners heal and spread the message of the partner trauma model. What was guiding you in taking your profession and yourself and investing in that direction, of all the directions you could go?
Well, that's a good question. I really knew that I wanted to do, I wanted to help kids who were sexually compulsive. I was getting a lot of phone calls from school superintendents. I'd worked in the schools for a lot of years, saying that they were unfortunately dealing with children that were participating in sexual acts at school or on the playground or on the bus. And that was very, very worrisome to the superintendents. But even more than that, Jake, there were other kids that were videotaping those acts. And so superintendents were, you know, they just didn't want their school to have that reputation. And they would call me and they'd say, give us some advice. What do we do? How do we handle this? And I knew that I didn't know. And that's when I got involved with ITAP, which is an organization that certifies sex addict therapists. And that's why I got into it so early, is I wanted to help children. And from there, again, it went full circle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's amazing. And then how about APSATs? Because then along the way, here comes, you know, some people out there who are saying, hey, this thing you're calling codependency, it's not that. Let's look at this again. You had Laurie Hall writing her book early on, and then Barb Steffens, of course, with her dissertation research and the book she wrote with Marsha Means. When did you first begin hearing about this new paradigm that really has rescued partners from being pathologized as codependents or co-addicts?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it came out of not knowing. You know, I was working with sex addicts and they were getting better. And they were saying that their wives were not. Their wives were either rageful and they couldn't dial down the anger, understandably, or their wives were in the fetal position on the floor, just hysterical about who is it that I married? What, not only who is this, but will I ever be able to trust him again? And that just continuum of fear. And so I started working with them, and I worked with a woman. I really enjoyed her. And she went back to her colleague, my colleague, her therapist, and she told Dean, one of my co-authors, she said, Carol doesn't care. And I had never, ever heard that I didn't get somebody, because I feel like I've got a lot of empathy, but more than that, I really feel like I did get her. So because I'd already interviewed Barbara Steffens on the APSATS program and knew that that existed, and absolutely knew in my heart that that was the best program for partner sensitivity, I immediately signed up. And you know, it was the best thing that I've ever done, because not only am I a better clinician and a coach, but I now understand the 3 phases of partner betrayal. And when you understand that continuum of what they need to do to get better, and you have that framework, and APSATS was, you know, they were the originators of that trauma model.
Right.
Then nobody can call these women codependent. They're not codependent. They didn't even know this was going on. They're now in the, they're just devastated. They're not enabling him and sacrificing themselves for him, which is the old model of codependency, which did kind of fit alcoholism. And, you know, that's what the 12-step program for sex addiction is. It's directly taken from the 12 steps of AA. And so when I,
right.
It just made me want to learn. And yes, Lori Hall wrote the first book that I'm aware of, An Affair of the Mind. And then when Marsha Means and Dr. Barbara Steffens did their research-oriented book on your sexually addicted spouse, boy, the train was on the track and we were never looking back.
That's right. That's right. I often say it's like a bomb went off and just disrupted the whole field in the best possible way. Now, we've mentioned Barb Steffens several times now, and the founder of APSATS, right, and just such a prominent person in this field. I want to let you hear from Barb real quick, Carol. She's got something she wants to share.
Okay. Hey, Carol, it's Barb Steffens. I just want to let you know how grateful I am for you and have been for you. Thank you so much for taking on this role of doing this podcast that reaches partners and how it has really impacted them, their loved ones, as well as really supported APSATS through the past few years. You are amazing. You're a powerhouse. You're compassionate. You're deep caring and your fun go together. And your hope for health and wellness and resilience always rings through. So I'm just so grateful for you. I'm glad that you are taking some time to do some other things for yourself. And I'm grateful for Jake for taking on this role. You are a blessing to me, friend. And I look forward to next time we get to have dinner together at our favorite restaurant. Love you, Carol.
Oh, she
isn't
is
that
amazing.
Great?
Yes, I've got tears in my eyes. You know, Barbara and I train for APSATS, and we've been doing that together since 2017. And once a year, pre-COVID, we were able to get together in person and do a four-day training face-to-face, and the others were virtual. And you know, Jake, there's great merit in being able to do virtual because it's so convenient and people don't have to spend money on the hotel and the travel. But there is nothing like face-to-face. And so Barbara and I would do the training face-to-face with 30, 40 people that were eager to learn this model. And then we get to have dinner every night. So it was a blast.
Oh, that sounds like a blast. That would be, I want to get in on one of those dinners. That'd be dinner with two of my favorite ladies, two powerhouse ladies.
Oh,
for sure. That sounds amazing. Yeah, and I have a couple of other notes I want to read to you. So here's one from a fellow board member, Jessica Eden. She writes and she says, Carol, what to say about our superstar coach of APSATS? Listening to Carol on the podcast, I know partners have been able to feel known and understood during dark times. She has provided comfort to so many people in pain throughout the years, and I don't think we could ever quantify it. She does it with a great deal of empathy and grace. Carol has a signature feeling that follows her around, too. No matter who she's talking to, she makes us all feel celebrated and smart. As a guest on the show a few times, I can only tell you how comforting it is to have had her guidance these past few years. Thanks for all you have done here on the podcast. Excited to see where Jake will take us. All the love, Jessica. And one more note I want to share with you, Carol, from Lachelle Burkett. she writes, Carol, I will forever be grateful for the opportunities and courage you gave me to share my story and the hope of our ministry work. You allowed me to have some of my very first podcast experiences. Thank you for your personal advocacy and all the ways you support APSATS and those healing from sexual betrayal. You're one of the hardest working women I know, and your passion is contagious. And I could spend the show reading you notes, Carol, because people know you and they know your service. They know your dedication and your passion. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jake. You know, we are, as you well know, we're a community that celebrates each other. This is hard work. And there are so many gifted people that are doing intensives and workshops and writing books and presenting. And APSATS is an advocacy organization. It's all about advocating.
That's right.
And that's what these people do, every single one that you brought up. I remember when I had Michelle on, and she's so good at what she does. She provides intensives for women from – I think it's from Friday to Sunday, but she starts gearing them ready a week before. And she has a whole host of people that check on the women before, during, and after. And it's biblically based, and it's amazing. And when my client, who had been with me for a year, heard that podcast, she said, oh, my gosh, I have to do this intensive. And it was exactly what she needed. They had follow-up groups afterwards. She really felt loved and nurtured. So, you know, she's one of a kind, too. And she works very, very hard and has a bunch of kids. And I don't know how she does it with kids. You know, Jake, I've never had kids. So I haven't had to do that like you have. I mean, you've got a precious little girl.
I do. Who I hear in the background and hope is not getting picked up on the mic right now.
You know what it
yeah.
is? Now, let me ask, could you hear my husband's drums?
I don't think so. So I think we're in the clear there. That makes me feel better, though.
Oh, yeah. No, so, I said, honey, now don't be playing those drums. I said, not while I'm on my radio show. And he said... Okay, and then I could hear him really softly.
That's great. That's great. So I want to ask you, as someone who you've now worked with thousands of people in one way or another, you love group work. You've written about group work. You've written books on group work. So you've worked with individuals. You've worked with couples. You've seen thousands of people, and you've also worked with many hundreds of colleagues as well over the years. And so I want to ask you these two questions. I want to ask them to you about those who are actually struggling with recovery from sex addiction and betrayal trauma, but also about those who are in the profession. So let me start with those who are actually in recovery, in that healing process from sexual betrayal, sexual addiction. I want, in your experience, as you survey the people you've helped, what's one thing that you would say to someone who's in that fight? This one thing will set you up to fail, but this one thing over here will set you up for success. What would you say to a client?
Well, you know, it's going to sound cliche, but the truth of the matter is when a partner has been so devastated, no matter at what point she's in the battle of partner betrayal, whether she just found out or she's been dealing with it for 2 years or she's been dealing with it for two decades or maybe four or five decades, what I say is it matters not what he's doing to get healthy. You have to get healthy. You have to practice intentional self-care. You have to learn mindfulness so that you can hear what the universe says or what God is saying or what your intuition is saying about you. And so I say what makes the difference, no matter how devastated she is if she can focus on herself.
Wow. And, you know, that is one thing that I love about ASAP and their model is that the model, the multidimensional partner trauma model, certainly makes space for the one who did the betraying, for the addicted partner, to be a part of the healing process to help her heal, right? There is space for that, but it's not a necessity. A betrayed partner can find healing even if the addict sadly does not. And so I hear you saying that there, yes.
Yeah, I just was talking to a woman who she was GPSing her husband, and he was away, and for the first day, it did not show that he was where he needed to be. And she was devastated. And I happen, you know, we as therapists have gut feelings about how somebody's doing. And I really think that was a fluke. You know, technology can be horrible.
Yeah.
My husband did call me in Walmart yesterday, and he's like, I can't hear you. And he said, how many bars do you have? And I'm like, honey, I can hear you just fine. So the point is that it can take somebody who's really healing, and it feels like they've gone back to square one. And that's never the case, because once you've learned what's going on, you can depend on what you think, your head. You can depend on your heart and what it says. And more importantly, you can depend on your own intuition. And when she really paid attention to her intuition instead of her emotions, her fear, she said to herself, you know, he checked in with me throughout the entire vacation. I'm going to choose. And Jake, that is so important. Women decide to stay with their husbands, they've got to choose what they're going to focus on, you know?
Yes, that's right. That's so empowering. That is so empowering. And I know I say similar things to my clients as well. Like, you get to make up your mind. You get to choose. You get to take steps, and you get to decide the direction of those steps. And you may not get to choose to be exactly where you want to be tomorrow or an hour from now, but you can take a step in that direction at least. That's super, super powerful. I wonder about the same thing for a colleague. Like, you know, because I know a lot of therapists and coaches also listen to you as well. And so what would you say to a colleague? One thing that would set them up to fail, but something else that would set them up for success?
That's a tough question. I have to think about that. My initial gut feeling was I would tell a colleague to find something that they love about this field so that it feeds them as opposed to drains them. Because, you know, when you're working with trauma and drama, it can deplete you. And so if somebody can be creative, within the field, whether that's writing blogs or whether that's doing YouTubes or whether that's doing FaceTime Live, I really think when people can kind of detach from the actual work and extricate, colleagues will be able to feel that they're making an impact no matter what. And again, I said APSAT is full of such a gifted community. I mean, they just are so full of many gifts. And I know, I mean, Jake, I had a woman who listened to the show. She said when she ran and her husband had betrayed her, and she listened to the show. This is my other show, Sex Help, with Carol the Coach.
Right.
And she heard these stats, and she said, oh, my gosh, I think I want to do that. And she had a bachelor's in psychology. So she went back and got a master's in social work. She became an LCSW. She got her CSAT, which is her Certified Sexual Addiction Therapy certification. And then she decided she wanted to help partners, and so she's just taken the training for APSATS. And this is a woman who said, I would listen to you on my runs every week. You know, I couldn't wait to hear your opinions about my husband. And through that, you know, it gave her the strength to know that she needed to give back. And it's all about post-traumatic growth, right? I mean, that's
right.
That third phase of APSATS model is that when you – I'm going to challenge your listeners. I'm going to say if you're listening to this show and you're feeling depressed or anxious or fearful or sad, what would it look like if you felt better and you no longer had those feelings? What would you be doing? You know, would you be doing something short-term like petting your puppy and taking your puppy for a walk? Or would you be doing something long-term like running a Bible study or visiting people in the hospital or helping kids? I mean, we all, I believe, were meant to help others less fortunate than ourselves. And every partner can make that choice to do that. And when they do, it takes them further away from their own troubles and their own feelings, and it gives back.
That is so good. That's so good. You know, what popped up in my head as you're saying that is that humans are unique in that way. You know, every other creature out there does not have that critical frontal lobe executive function that allows us to override an emotional existence and make a choice based on our values and based on a vision. You know, if we let trauma and fears and our histories drive us, then often our footsteps are following our feelings. But we actually are able to change our direction and let our feelings follow our footsteps. That's really good advice. And I wonder where people might be able to find some practical exercises to do something like that, maybe in a book called Unleashing Your Power or something like that, right?
That's exactly right, Jake. I wrote a workbook to get – actually, the tagline is moving through sexual betrayal, because I never want a woman to think that her life is going to be stagnant. I want her to know that she has the power to move forward to get over to post-traumatic growth. And so I have a lot of exercises in that book, and it's really unusual, because people are using it for group work too. And so I wrote it for partners specifically to do the work, but a lot of therapists and coaches are using it to work together with other women and help each other move through the exercises that you need to get to post-traumatic growth. And APSATS refers to that as restoration, restoration of self, restoration of the relationship, if that's possible, and restoration with your higher power, because you know, Jake, when something like this occurs, you doubt everything in your life. You wonder where God was.
Yeah.
You does this. It's hard.
Yeah. It's very hard. It's existential in nature. It strikes at the deepest places of our hearts and our minds, which is the, you know, in the moment, the horror of it, but it is also what later gives that possibility that now that ground has been broken up and something new can take root there. And I know you've seen it happen. I know you've facilitated it personally and through your work and through helping others learn to do that as well. So thank you, Carol. You really do focus on that piece of post-traumatic growth more than anyone else that I listen to regularly. So thank you for bringing that before me, you know, and to my attention. I'm I'm just grateful. I want to ask you how, I mean, now you're going to have a little more time. You know, you're handing the microphone over to me for this show. You're going to have a little more time, but I know that you've already got your eyes set on what you're going to be investing in that time. You've got some exciting work going on. Do you want to share with our listeners what you're doing, what you're putting your heart into right now?
Well, I'm trying to work smarter, not harder. And so I'm doing a variety of things. One thing I'm doing, I know this isn't what you're talking about, but one thing I'm doing is I'm doing Help Her Heal groups. And that's for men, men only, that don't seem to understand the empathy principle. And so we go over all 12 chapters of the Help Her Heal book. And, of course, for anybody that doesn't know, Help Her Heal is an empathy workbook to help sex addicts to help their partners heal. So I'm doing that, and that way I get to work with 12 men at the same time in every series, because it's 12 weeks. One of the men says, I know I need to know this again, so can I return for another series? Say, yes, you can, anytime. We all need repetition. So that's
right.
I'm doing. And I'm doing a partners group, and I always have a long-running 12 to 15-week partners group. If you're a partner out there and you'd like to work with me and you want to work on healing, but you also want more information about this post-traumatic growth, please email me at carol@carolthecoach.com, and I'll be happy to sign you up. We've got a group starting in a couple weeks. Now, I think what you were referencing, Jake, is a dual responsibility. You and I are doing IRCAM, and IRCAM is the Early Recovery Couples Empathy Model, and we are teaching clinicians and coaches all over the world. As a matter of fact, we're going to be doing this the last week of March. We are teaching them how to help their clients go through these three phases of partner betrayal, and we're using some unusual materials and exercises. It was initially based on Help Her Heal, and then it has a lot of unleashing your power in terms of the anger and grief work that a woman has to go through. And we're actually encouraging husbands to help with this. So this is where, instead of Help Her Heal, this is Help Them Heal through IRCAM. And if you're interested in taking a look at the IRCAM model, you can go to Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and it pops up IRCAM immediately. And I am just so blessed to have you be my co-facilitator, because we both really believe that couples can heal from this together, and it does require empathy, and that's what IRCAM's all about. We're teaching him to be empathetic and how he can help her to heal, but we're also teaching her to notice when he's doing this kind of work, because that is so important in, if you will, recalibrating the relationship so that they're working together on something. What do you think, Jake?
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, the power of empathy is so, it can be so subtle, and yet it is incredibly powerful. I was just working with a couple this past week, a couple that's been in recovery for a decade, okay, and has had really good recovery in a lot of ways, but they come from a much more traditional 12-step oriented model. The partner had never even heard the phrase betrayal trauma until 2 years ago. So they had eight pretty good years in a more traditional model, but this idea of betrayal trauma really began to validate the partner's true experience and let her know that there was more she needed. So I was working with them, and we were doing a lot of things that we actually teach people to do in IRCAM. They were sitting knee to knee. They were doing the eye gaze. And I was trying to facilitate this little moment of empathy. And he kept saying, I'm really sorry that happened to you. I'm really sorry. And I just interrupted him and instead slowed him down. And I just had him really look at her face. And I said, can you see her pain in her face? And he said, he was quiet for a minute. First, he said, no. Actually, I said, hold on, take a deep breath. Just look at her face. She's feeling pain. Do you see it? And immediately his eyes began to tear up. And he nodded very subtly. And I said, where do you see it? And he said, in her eye. And I said, without making this about you, because that's what shame does. Shame takes something that's not about us, flips it around and makes it all about us. What can you tell her what you feel for her as you see that pain in her eyes? And he began to cry and say, I feel really sad for you. And it was a beautiful little 20-second moment that did more good for that relationship than all the mountain of I'm sorry's that he's been giving for years. And that's the power of the IRCA model, Carol. That's what you're helping, what we're helping therapists and coaches lead couples toward.
Oh, I agree. And Jake, you know, he kept saying, I'm sorry. Well, that's sympathy. That's not empathy. But when he says, I feel sad, boy, that was empathy linking right up to her emotions. So sounds
that's
like
right.
The three of you did a wonderful job. Wow.
Yeah, it was really powerful. So, and I know you already said, but I just want to make sure that people know, if they're interested in learning more about IRCA, they can go to sexhelpwithcarolthecoach.com. Is that right, Carol?
Right, as well as they'll be able to see people that have been trained in IRCA. And, you know, we have two kinds of professionals. We have clinicians who, of course, are amazing professionals. They've been educated on how to help couples heal. And then we have coaches who can work across state lines that are blowing it out of the water in terms of helping
yes.
couples, right? And so I have listed the trainees. I've listed the people that are in the middle of certification, and then I've listed the certified. And if you can't find somebody in your state to do the IRCA model, then look for a coach. Look for a coach that's certified. And we're going to keep adding to that list. Hopefully, I know our training is March 28th through the, 28th through the 31st? Yeah.
That sounds
the 31st.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and you and I are going to be doing that together. And I guess the other exciting thing, Jake, is that prior to your and my training that we did in October, actually September, and it ended the last day of October, I was in the process of writing a book to teach couples how to do the work that I'm teaching professionals to do. And that book.
Very exciting.
Help them heal, teaching you both how to heal your relationship after sexual betrayal. And that is coming up. Now, I was promised that it would be published by tomorrow. But that publishing, then I have to go over it and make sure there are no typos, and I have to look at the illustrations, and so it probably won't get out until the end of February. But I am so excited about that, because let's face it, Jake, you know, there are some people that don't have access to therapists or coaches, and they may not even have the money to support that kind of work. And I want them to get this word. I want them to practice the exercises we're doing. I want them to really use the book and use me in the book. It's written as if I am actually the therapist on call. I want them to get this information, because you and I know it makes a huge difference in building trust. And when a man can help her heal, and it expedites that process, and it also shows her that he's willing to do what it takes to make things better. Not right, because he can never right the wrong, but he can make things better. And he, more often than not, he's doing this as a gift to her. And that's a beautiful thing, because when she's reading her anger letter to him, well, or to his addiction, I should say, he has to stand strong and hold it and contain it and then validate it. That's coming around the corner. Help them heal. And I can't wait.
Yeah.
And then that'll also help professionals. It'll remind them what they learned in our training.
For sure. For sure. That's going to be just another incredible resource out there, helping these couples to reach that final stage and those three stages and get into that post-traumatic growth, which is such a beautiful place of fruitfulness, you know, where what was meant for harm becomes really something that can be a source of good. That is incredible. Well, Carol, we're just about out of our time, and
mm-hmm.
I thought I would close by doing one of the checkouts that I do in my men's group sometimes. So sometimes in our men's group, when it's a special group, we end by giving gifts. And they're not physical, tangible gifts, but we just offer, you know, from our heart to others, a gift, you know, a blessing, a pronouncement of something that we want for that person. And so, Carol, my gift to you is just hope and confidence that as you step into the next phase, the next chapter of your life, you're not stepping down anything. You're stepping up into greater success, greater audiences. You're kind of taking on this wholesale, by wholesale, what I mean is by you training more trainers and you training more specialists and clinicians and coaches, your reach is just growing by leaps and bounds. And I just wish you all the hope, all the joy, all the success in that, in the world. And I'd like for you to be able to offer a gift to this listening audience that you have built over these last 3 years.
Okay, so thank you very much for my gift. I really appreciate your acknowledgement of that, and we work so similarly. I know that you have many of the same qualities. Now let me see if I got this right. You want me, as I say goodbye and hand you over the baton, you'd like for me to give a gift to my listening audience.
That's right.
Okay. Well, that's easy. I said that's easy because I'm getting emotional.
Oh. Yeah.
So, the people that listen to this show are not only curious, but they have a knowing that they want to better their current life. And it has been such a blessing to let me into your home, let me go exercising with you, let me, you know, travel in the car before you pick up the kids. And I just really appreciate how vulnerable you've been to let me into your life. And you're in such good hands with Jake and APSATS. I mean, APSATS is the premier partner-sensitive program, and they are going to have more and more and more gifts to give you. So stay tuned. Jake is brilliant. And he loves people, and he loves his work, and he loves his family, and he is going to give you everything you need to restore your trust in humanity. So to my listening audience, thank you so much for being there for me, and you'll see me in many ways, probably for the next couple decades.
Yes, that's right. That's right, because we're just reflecting on what you've done so far. So, Carol, thank you so much. You go enjoy a private drum concert with your husband. Maybe just you and Boo can share that. Thank you, my friend, for all that you do. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jake. You take care.
You too. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for being a part of this time to honor Carol. It's been a great show. And I really look forward to getting to know you as a listening audience. I have some exciting things planned for Betrayal Recovery Radio, the podcast of APSATS. And you can reach me personally by emailing me, Jake, J-A-K-E, Jake at daringventures.com. That's the name of my practice, daringventures.com, Jake at daringventures.com. Reach out anytime that we can be a resource to you. We are happy to try to come alongside you. It would be a joy and an honor. Tune in soon. Be sure and follow this show using your favorite podcast app. And real soon, I'll be back for the next chapter in APSATS podcast, Betrayal Recovery Radio. Until then, you all keep choosing your values, choosing connection, choosing healing, hope, and health. Take care.
For more information, go to APSATS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.